Shapers on Jazz FM. Listen in colour. In partnership with Mishcon de Rea. It's business, but it's personal.
That was Stevie Wonder and Do I Do. Good morning, this is Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, every Saturday morning here on Jazz FM. Jazz Shapers is the place, as you well know, I hope, where you can hear the very best of the people shaping the world of jazz, soul and blues, alongside their equivalents in the world of business, a business shaper. My business shaper today is Vanessa Vallely. She is the founder of WeAreTheCity.com, which is a professional working women's repository of amazing things, as well as a writer. I'm holding a copy of Heels of Steel here as well, so you'll be hearing lots from Vanessa very shortly. In addition to that, some words of advice for your business from our programme partners at Mishcon de Rea. And as well as all of that, of course, great music from the Shapers of Jazz, Soul and Blues, including Diane Reeves, Miles Davis, and this from Dizzy Gillespie, It's Closer to the Source, here on Jazz FM. That was Dizzy Gillespie and Closer to the Source. Vanessa Vallely is my business shaper today. As I said, she is the founder, co-founder, in fact, with her husband, of WeAreTheCity.com. It's a professional working women's resource, which she set up in 2008. She's also a writer. We'll be talking about that and lots of other things. Vanessa, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much. Hello.
Now, age 15, apparently, so the story goes, you land in the city, starting in a job, and I quote, with 15p in a bag full of ambition, my sources tell me. What were you doing in the city age 15? How did that happen? How did your working life start so early?
It actually started earlier than that. My first ever job was age 11 at a pie mash shop. So anyone from the East End will be very familiar with pie mash shops and across London, for that matter. I was a washer-upper. I used to wash up, clean the ill stand. So I did that for about 5 years. So always had a very strong work ethic. Used to work with my mum as well. We used to do a number of kind of cleaning jobs and stuff like that to kind of make ends meet. So I had this huge strong work ethic. And from where I lived in the East End, what you could see kind of from the top floor of our flat was the city. And bear in mind, this was around about the time when Wall Street came out. Not exactly a character you'd aspire to, but kind of I could see the city from my bedroom window. That was the bright lights. That's where the money was. You know, so for a 15-year-old girl, you know, for the bus fare up there, it seemed like a logical place for me to go and try and get a job.
Well, you say logical, but there must have been a lot of people you knew and probably family and friends that would have carried on doing the kinds of jobs, because there are lots of those jobs and they're important and their hard work, they would have carried on doing those for the rest of their lives. You didn't think that?
No, because I think I kind of come from an area where girls, especially, but we didn't go on to work in banks. It wasn't something that, you know, it wasn't something that our careers officer would advise us to do. So I think there was always this part of me that, you know, liked to kind of reboot the system in a way. So I'm going up there and I'm going to try and get a job in a bank. You know, I had big visions that I would be a, you know, a trader or something like that. I say a bit like in the film. I didn't quite get there, but certainly worked in a number of banks.
What made you think that, though? What made you think differently to the other people of your age, and as you said, girls, women, young women at that age? What was the thing that differentiated you?
I think I had some fairly strong female role models in my family. My grandmother was an entrepreneur. She had her own businesses. She used to run secondhand bookstores in Soho when it was a market. So I kind of grew up with kind of watching her go out early in the mornings, you know, and work. Spent a lot of time in her kind of book warehouse. Watched my mum obviously go out and work. So there's always been that big strong work ethic, and both of them were, they'd always kind of tell me that if you want something, you've got to work hard for it. So, you know, basically knuckle down, determination, steely grit, and you know, you'll get there in the end. And that I've kind of carried that with me, and I impart that on my own kids.
Stay with me to hear lots more from Vanessa Vallely, my business shaper, and a great last name too. Time for some music there in the meantime. This is Diane Reeves and Long Road Ahead. That was Diane Reeves and Long Road Ahead. Vanessa Valelli is my business shaper today, and she's been talking about the road ahead for her as she looked back at her 15-year-old self. And you were saying that you had ambitions beyond doing the pie and mash shop, beyond doing the cleaning stuff. You said, I want to be in the city. What happened when you got to the city?
I got my first job at a bank. It didn't particularly end that well. I think, you know, when you're a youngster, and I see this with a lot of kids that I work with these days as well, there's a huge gap between when you leave school or when you leave university, perhaps, you know, talking more current times, and when you actually turn up to work. So there's like the corporate hymn sheet. I hadn't really learnt to speak from that when I first went into my first ever job. So
what do you think that... It's an interesting expression, the corporate hymn sheet. What do you think that was really about?
I just think when you're young, you don't realise it's tact and diplomacy. And I didn't really have that, if I look back at 16. Kind of coming from the background, we just very much tell things how they are and call something if we thought it was, you know, not right. And I was very much like that. And I think as you go through, I suppose you achieve professionalism. I suppose you would map it back to now. But that takes time. And I think it's only through observing situations and things like that that you learn that professionalism. Whereas, you know, at 16, I was very much, hold on a minute, that's not right. You can't say that. And which, yet, often didn't go down very well.
Well, I imagine it didn't. But I bet you now you're the one in the room who will be blunt and will be honest. And
I'm more
go,
like that now. I'm more like the 16-year-old than I think I've ever been.
Mm. And that's probably a good thing, isn't it? Because it stands you out because you're not scared to speak your mind.
No. But, I mean, there were times in my career when I was... You know, there were times when I think, you know, you haven't quite reached that level of seniority yet. So you don't quite know where your boundaries are in terms of what you can say and what you can't say. Mm. So you can take it to the different kind of end of the spectrum and be too quiet. There were times like that. And then there were times where obviously I felt very comfortable, you know, in terms of my expertise on a certain thing. And absolutely, I would speak up. But also, I think as you get older, you know, your patience runs a bit slightly more thin and you're likely to call it when you see it. So I'm quite proud of that trait.
And you should be too. And you'll be hearing a lot more from Vanessa Valelli, my business shaper, after the latest travel in a couple of minutes. And before that, some words of wisdom from our programme partners at Mish Gonderair for your business.
Hello, my name's Saul Sender and I'm a partner in the corporate department at Mish Gonderair. The choices that small growing companies face when raising money are very similar to the choices that large international companies face when they're raising money in the city or on the international capital markets. Essentially, there's a decision to be made between raising debt finance or equity finance. Debt finance is as simple as a loan. It suits you best if you have regular cash flow because the obligation to repay is fixed and you need the money to repay it back on a periodic basis. Equity can be much more flexible. But on the downside to the business owner, you're giving away ownership of the company. You may be giving away future profits. You may be giving away future proceeds of a sale. Or if you sell more than 25 or 50% of the company, you may be losing control in due course. So business owners who are looking to grow need to weigh up the pros and cons of how to raise money.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mish Gonderair. It's business, but it's personal.
You're listening to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, every Saturday morning, as you know, if you've joined me before. And if you haven't, welcome to this, your first interaction with Jazz Shapers. And every week we have a business shaper. My business shaper this week is Vanessa Valelli. She is the founder, indeed the co-founder of WeAreTheCity.com. It's a professional working women's resource. And she was, as she was saying earlier, an EastEnder, is an EastEnder, and a young girl who wanted to become a woman in the city, who wanted to work in the city. But obviously that journey, Vanessa, led you to, you had children, obviously, yep. Importantly, a couple of girls, I understand.
Yep.
Good. You then... What happened? I mean, you went from this working life where you were doing stuff to creating We Are, you know, your website, We Are the City. Where did that come from?
I think it was born out of frustration. And again, it was more a case of I knew that I wanted to learn new things. I knew that I was in a very male-dominated environment. So I knew that I wanted to be around more women. And when I looked on the internet, this information was scattered. And, you know, being time-strapped, having two young kids, it was, OK, if I go to these networking events, how can I guarantee I'm going to get some sort of return on investment? Will I meet the right people? Am I going to learn things? Bear in mind, I was quite an extremely high-pressured, busy job at the time. So obviously, because it was scattered across the internet, I was moaning at my husband. I said, if only there was kind of one website that pulled all this stuff together for a working woman, you know, in terms of what networks there are, what events that were going on, articles that might inspire me. So kind of half professional, but a little bit of lifestyle in there as well, because, you know, women don't wake up with their hair naturally done. You know, we do have to go out and, you know, there is the woman that likes to shop, that likes to kind of do lifestyle things. So I didn't want to eliminate that completely. So I wanted a kind of balance of both. So it was that moaning to my husband that there wasn't one there. I got back to work. We'd been away for the weekend, annual weekend away with the kids. And we've been talking about this website, and over a bottle of wine, it became, you know, we were going to take over the world. And I got back into work on the Monday, and I got an email from him, and he's like, I've bought you a present. Now, bear in mind, my husband's in IT, so I don't expect chocolates, flowers, and he'd bought me a website domain. Bless him. And he just put on it, let's just do something about it. And he built the first shell, which was what was We Are The City. I mean, now that website's huge. I mean, we have, I think it's around 210,000 unique visitors a month, 5.4 million page impressions. We have 250 writers. They're all City women writing for City women. And it's everything I imagined it would be.
Amazing. And all those women, as you look at it, are they're senior, they're middle, they're junior? What's the range?
They're right across the piece, and they're right across multi-industries as well. But one of the things I'm particularly passionate about is the pipeline of women. Because I think, you know, when you get to a senior level, I think it's our job to act as role models, to kind of put our arms around the next generation, not just of women coming through, but of young lads as well, and kind of impart what we've learned. And that was very much what the book was about. If only I knew then what I know now. So a kind of retrospective look, and how can I share that? Because I hope that, you know, one day when my girls get to the City, if they aspire to work there, but they look back at some of the issues we face these days around pay, or be it women on boards and stuff like that, and they will look back like how I look back at the fact that women couldn't vote, you know. So, you know, I think we're paying a bit of a price for our generation, but, you know, that's, We Are The City is very much aimed to inspire and motivate that kind of middle generation, the lost women, I think they're calling them at the minute.
Hear more about how Vanessa is working with those lost women to recapture them and put them back in the place they ought to be. Time for some music, though. It's All Over Your Body from Jose James, and it's the Odyssey remix. That was the Jose James Odyssey mix of It's All Over Your Body. Vanessa Vallelli is my business shaper, talking about wearethecity.com. That is the professional working women's resource that she has created from nothing. Well, actually from a gift from your husband.
Yeah.
The incredible romantic that he is. I love IT people too. Yeah, we're at chocolates, flowers, you're right, forget it. Here's a website, darling. How have you done this? I mean, 250 writers, 210,000 unique visitors a month. This doesn't just happen. What do you think's enabled you to create a community and to create a repository of really useful information?
Well, when I first started, I mean, obviously it was getting around all the women's networks. It was overcoming the fear of networking myself, because I wasn't a natural networker. You know, I was very much of the assumption the people that I needed were on that floor. You know, I didn't kind of go out and invest time. So it was that was a bit of a journey, going out and discovering these networks. And I'll be honest with you, the first event I ever went to, I walked in, put my coat down, got my water, put my water down, got my coat and went. But it's happened organically. It's happened via word of mouth. I mean, bear in mind, we built We Are The City whilst my husband and I both maintained corporate jobs, two young kids, various other commitments.
So you're still doing other stuff?
Absolutely.
What else do you do then?
I was still in my corporate job.
So you're an IT trainer, is that right?
No. I was head of business management and head of governance at the time for an asset manager. So my husband, and say, he's quite senior in IT, so he was still working for his company.
You're still doing that today?
No, I gave up I'm supposed to be on sabbatical. I gave up in June because I took the kids around Europe and I wanted to have 6 months off to just do what I wanted to do with a website and charity work, and I do some work in a primary school as well. So I've been living my passions. But going back to your point about kind of growing it, it's grown by word of mouth, because there's kind of three pillars. You know, we promote the activities of female entrepreneurs, in terms of we give them advertising space to put their quality service or product onto our platform to reach a large female demographic. We provide a channel for charities to get to professional women, and we promote the activities of these networks. So they're the kind of three pillars.
And have you, along the way, since you've created, you've been talking about these three pillars, have you encountered all sorts of barriers to help that have stopped you becoming as successful as you have been? I mean, have there been real big blocks, or has
no,
it actually been...
Do you know what? I've had some absolutely amazing bosses that... And I've always been very open and honest up front in all my corporate jobs. Look, I do We Are The City on the side. I'm very passionate about it. And in all fairness, they've all been very supportive. You know, they know I do a lot of kind of public speaking in schools and across corporates. So, you know, I'm lucky that I've had that support. And I think because some of these items are firmly on all of the corporate's agenda, about, you know, attracting and retaining more women, you know, that why wouldn't they support me? And it, to be honest, if I went to a firm that didn't support me, I'm at the wrong firm. So
we'll have our final chat with Vanessa, plus play track from Shaper of Jazz, Miles Davis. That's coming up after the latest traffic and travel here on Jazz FM.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM in partnership with Mishkon de Rea. It's business, but it's personal.
That was Miles Davis and Human Nature. Vanessa Valelli is my business shaper just for a few more minutes. She's the fantastic and amazing woman, the powerhouse behind WeArtheCity.com, the gift from her husband. Obviously a good gift because it's the gift that's going to give. Behind your business, you've obviously got lots and lots of clever people. What's the team like?
No, we haven't. Don't get me wrong, they're all clever, but we don't have...
You've got stupid people.
No. We don't have a myriad of staff. Most of my team are stay-at-home mums, ex-city mums, students, part-time workers. I very much practice what I preach in terms of kind of, you know, giving people opportunities and stuff like that. So I think there's probably about four of us that are full-time. You know, that includes me. But generally, I tend to pull people in as and when I need them. You know, I do think we get to a point where we need to scale. I've got people offshore that kind of do all my web admin and my content and stuff like that. I've got creative writers because we profile inspirational women. I've got an ex-reporter that goes out because obviously these women are time-strapped. And they're lovely. You know, that's great because, again, what we don't just profile inspirational women, but we profile rising stars. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to give like the middle management layer a platform or a female entrepreneur a platform. And with the amount of traffic we got, you know, we've been quite successful of that. It's lovely to hear the stories when they come back, say, oh, as a consequence of you guys, this happened or that happened. That makes me feel very happy.
Now, you talked about, you know, in 20 years' time, hopefully my children will look back and things will be different. Your reference point was women not having the vote 80, 90 years ago. The reference point now is that there aren't enough women on boards and people are talking about the Davis Report and 30% and all those other things. What do you think, and you really are a shaper in this world of women in the workplace having the voice that they ought to have, what do you think the story will be in 30 years' time? What would you like it to be?
I think I truly believe we're paying a price for our generation, as I said earlier on. I think over time, as the youngsters come through who do think about things differently, they've got a different attitude towards what work will look like. And I think in 20 years' time, that will start to come through. I don't think we'll have youngsters that see the difference between a man and a woman. Even now when I work with kids, you know, the girls have got no boundaries. They don't see that there's anything to stop them getting where they want to get. So I think if we can continue with that and kind of this middle management layer, you know, as that kind of rinses through and people kind of retire, I'd like to think that there will be women on boards, but that's if they want to be on boards. I think that, you know, sometimes there's this big assumption that it's what every woman aspires to, but sometimes, I mean, some of the girls that I talk to, you know, from 25 to 35, that's not even on their radar yet. Mm. And you're right, there's some amazing organisations, 30% Club, Women on Boards, that are really doing some fab stuff on there, you know, on that particular subject. So, you know, they're writing, they're trying to influence policy and stuff like that. So things happen now. But, you know, I just think perhaps in 20 years' time, you know, some of those issues won't be there. I really hope so.
And just before I ask you about your song choice, if you had a magic wand and there was one thing that you could definitely say, I want that to happen, and in 30 years I'll look back and say, that was the one thing that was the most important thing, what would it be?
That there are no prejudices whatsoever.
Wow.
You know, there is no boundary between genders or colours or sexuality or anything like that. If I could eliminate that with a magic wand, I think everyone would be happy to do that.
Bring your magic wand next time, please, Vanessa. Your song choice today, what is it and why have you chosen it?
It's Nina Simone, and I'm feeling good. Being an eternal optimist, this kind of sums up me as a person. And when I think about... I never really was into this kind of music until I met my husband, and he's a big jazz fan, and he used to play Nina Simone all the time. So I kind of started listening to it, and now obviously I'm a big fan myself, but I think this very much is the ethos of me, and I'd like to spread a little bit of that positivity.
Vanessa, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much for being my business shaper. This is your song choice. It's Nina Simone and Feeling Good.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day.
That was Feeling Good from Nina Simone, the song choice of my business shaper today, Vanessa Valelli. Hardworking, an eternal optimist, and someone with a really positive and important agenda. Do join me again, same time, same place. That's next Saturday morning, 9 a.m, here on Jazz FM for another edition of Jazz Shapers. Stay with us though now. It's Nigel Williams.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkonda Raya. It's business, but it's personal.